And Ryan Eilert, head coach of Blake Trojan Boys, is with me. And Ryan, I just want to start off. I feel for you and the kids, and certainly especially the seniors, because you guys work so hard. And as you said, I know with Dusty, we had it on sports earlier today, you got there to the championship last year. You're so close, and you worked so hard, those kids coming back, to get to a point where you could win your first ever state championship for the school, and you're two wins away from doing that. And then all of a sudden, something that certainly couldn't have been anticipated months ago or last year after your season was over, or even just a few days ago, suddenly it's reality slapping you in the face that the season is over for all of you guys.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, like you said, a year ago we had the title just right there for us, and not able to get it done. And you know, so all year long you're motivated by that. The kids, you know, just worked extremely hard and wanted that goal of getting back there. And, you know, to be honest, to start the year we didn't play all that well, and kind of thought, you know, the play that we'd have to really change some things if we wanted to give ourselves a chance. And our kids did. About midway through the year, we started playing some great basketball, and you go through, and we know that we were in a tough sub-state, and we played extremely well that week, and then you get to the first round of state, and anything can happen, and we didn't play our best early, but came out and played really well in the third, and able to get the win, and you know, ready to play collegiate, a team that's really good, and know that you know, a chance to play in the state championships right there for us again, and all of a sudden this happens, and something totally out of your control, you know, you can't prepare for it, you can't do anything about it, you just got to accept it. So you know, those kids, you feel for them for how hard they've worked, and just, you know, the goal they've had there, and then all of a sudden it's gone without you know, really a chance for them to have any say in it.
You're in a unique situation because you're wearing the shoes of a few different roles. Certainly, you are the head coach of the Beloit boys basketball team and have been for 12 years, never experienced anything like this, obviously. None of us have. And then on top of that, you have a son that is an important part of the basketball team and plays on the varsity. So I know you've always had to deal with this, not always, but certainly since your son Owen's been on the basketball team, that you wear two different hats. You have the head coach hat and you have the parent hat, and I'm sure those overlap from time to time. So not only are you affected as a head coach, but you're affected as a parent just like all the other parents of the players on the team, because you have a child that's on the team, a young man that did very well for you, and luckily for him, there'll be a couple years to still play, unlike the seniors, but still, it's tough for you as a parent, too, to tell your son that, hey, man, the season's over because of this, right?
Yeah, definitely. To me, that was the hardest thing. Is, you know, I kind of expected as the day went along and the way things evolved on Wednesday, you know, I just kept waiting for that announcement that it was over. And when I went to tell him, he believed they were going to play. And you know, you're that age. You just, you know, I give him credit because he's always a positive thinker. And you know, he was devastated by it. And you know, one of the things I've loved about him, you know, especially as of late, is his confidence. And you know, he was devastated, and he just made the comment, you know, we were prepared, we were ready. And you know, having to tell him to me was the hardest part. And then obviously telling the seniors, and a lot of texts back and forth, and between guys, and just really appreciative of you know, what they've done for us, and the opportunities that they've had, and that it's a lesson they're gonna learn in life that really wasn't expected. Or sometimes, you know, things happen when you're planning other things.
You and I talked yesterday because we were doing a pregame interview for the semifinal for the broadcast, and you and I chatted that, you know, maybe we're doing this interview and we won't end up airing it because this might happen. I think you and I saw that this was, the writing was on the wall, that something was going to happen, whether it be limited fans or maybe get canceled altogether. Did you, because that's a tough situation too, because you want your kids to be focused in case you play. You don't want them to worry too much. How did you handle that, knowing what you and I discussed, and I'm sure you discussed with your coaches as well, that, hey, there's a chance we're going to have no fans at the game on Friday, or this thing will be canceled altogether. Do you say anything to the team in that situation so they can be braced for it a little bit more? Or do you just go ahead and say, listen, if we do that and then we end up playing, that could hurt our focus and concentration?
No, we just approached it like we normally would. I mean, there were a few, you know, kids while they're warming up came over and said something. I said, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But then, you know, we had a great practice yesterday. It wasn't like You know, it was an up-and-down practice, but, you know, we'd watched collegiate film and had our game plan in, and to me that was the focus in the kids' eyes yesterday is really devastating because, you know, we were going to have to play well to move on, and yet our practice yesterday, they were so focused and listening to details about, you know, how we wanted to defend them and what they do, and you know, that's when it was done, and I kind of had that feeling that it may not happen. That's when it was like, you know, we prepared, we've done everything we need to, and yet we're not going to get that chance.
Yeah, it, you know, I mean, it's simple. It stinks. It sucks. That's what I know a lot of the kids think, and I get it. I totally do. You know, it's a bummer for your son, but he is a sophomore, as I noted. It's really particularly tough for the seniors, and certainly, you know, I saw people playing on social media really feel for the Beloit seniors, so forth and so on. And I added, I feel for all the seniors and all the teams. I mean, obviously, we're close to covering you guys and certainly feel even worse for you, but this isn't just your team affected. It's every single team that was still alive for a state championship across the state of Kansas, both girls and boys, and then those seniors. What about the message you can give to your seniors? Because as a coach, this is going to be tough too, because not only is it the last time that the seniors played on Wednesday against Nemaha Central, but as a coach, usually you have that opportunity to know this is the last game for the seniors, you know, or it could be the last game for the seniors. And now all of a sudden there isn't that moment where you can bring them off the floor and get the ovation for the kids. If you're, you know, whether it's a third place game, a semifinal where you're way up or way down, or a championship game. And as a coach, suddenly the reality and the suddenness that you're not going to coach these seniors anymore after thinking you're going to on Friday.
Yeah, you know, we're not the only ones impacted. The whole world is right now, and it's not just sports; it's everything. And but in our situation, you don't have that final locker room chat that you normally do. You know, we were going to eat lunch together before we left today, and we're going to go ahead and do that. And so we're going to get together as a team for lunch and talk about those things. But yeah, it's you know, the end of the year. Locker room chat usually is on a down note. You know, most teams end up getting beat unless you win the championship or third place game, and is always difficult. But you know that it's going to be there, and at the end, after game's been played, you know the reason, you know, why you got beat or why this happened, and this is just simply all right, we're done. Congrats for all the accomplishments you had, and thanks for everything. But never really knowing what could have been is the biggest thing that kind of sucks about it.
Ryan Eilert, head coach of the Beloit Trojan Boys, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. His team was going to play in the state semifinals today against Wichita Collegiate, but the state basketball tournaments, not only the state of Kansas canceling basketball tournaments, but neighboring states have either suspended, postponed, or having tournaments with just fans, just a few fans, or just essential personnel and limiting many fans. This is an interesting question for you, I think. I think I know your answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I saw somebody post it, and I had thought about this as well. The teams that lost in the first round at state, they knew their season was over. They knew they weren't going to win a state championship. The season was over. Those teams aren't really affected by what happened yesterday. Teams that were still alive didn't get to go through, as you just said, closure on the season. Like, okay, we know we got third, we got fourth, we got second, we got first, we got blown out, we lost a heartbreaker, which is still tough to deal with. But what you have with all the teams that are still alive is the unknown of, would we have won the state title? Or, I believe we would have won the state title. Every single team that's still alive believes they would have won the state title. We know only one at every four at these locations on the girls and boys side would have actually won the state championship. This is a weird question, but, and I know your answer, I'm pretty sure. Would have been, I feel silly even asking it, but for those that got beat in the first round, there's closure. And for all of you guys that won, there isn't. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely does.
So the question is, would it be better to have lost in the first round knowing the known instead of making the semis, had you known what was going to happen, making the semis, and then never knowing if you were going to win it?
No.
I agree. I mean, I knew that's what you were going to say.
Well, you know, we won, we celebrated, we prepared, and sure. you do your best at what's in front of you, and that's what we did. And sure. You know, you guys constantly talk, would have been better to do this or that, or would have better to get third than second, and you win what's ahead of you, and you do your best, and whatever happens happens. And you know, it's always most of the time settled on the court, and you get an answer. And it's one of the reasons I always loved math, because there was a right answer and there was a wrong answer, and there wasn't a gray area in between. But this is that area in between that you won't know, and they'll never know, and these kids for the rest of their lives can you know, debate it back and forth, and have great conversations when they run into some of the guys that they might have played, and who was better, but at the end of the day, nobody will ever know.
Yeah, that's so true. All right, so on top of all things we talked about, usually at the end of the season, I have a post-game interview with you, whether it's at the end of the regular season at sub-state, or if it happens at state, like last year after the state championship game. And we normally have a conversation. And what I've done for many years with coaches and teams that I've covered, we usually take a little extra time on the post-game interview to roll through the coaches' thoughts on each of the seniors, because they're not going to be back with you, of course, next year. And I'm going to give you that opportunity right now, Ryan. I'm going to go through your seniors. We can go through it quickly, slowly. I don't care. The time is yours, because we would have normally done this anyway. But you are a team that's senior-laden, eight seniors on the team. Your starting lineup is all seniors. So, I mean, I'll start with one that didn't play this year. It's a bummer for him, but he had – there's an unknown, Lucas Mahong. I mean, there's a kid that if he wasn't hurt, very athletic, so I'll start with him. And I know he still supported the team even though he was hurt.
Yeah, and you know, we're upset because somebody made the decision to not allow us to play, but he's one that – had positioned himself his senior year to get minutes and to contribute and gets, you know, injured. And so his credit, he stayed with us all year long, was a part of it, and we kind of made him our trophy go-getter, and you know, just loved that he stayed with it and continued to support us, even, you know, when he could have hung his head and been upset about it.
And Jace Walker, I know he didn't play a lot at the varsity level, some minutes here and there, but it's the end of his high school basketball career as well.
Yeah, and him, you know, every team has characters on it, and he was one of ours that he didn't play a lot, but his being on the bench and cheering, you know, it was great to have him there, and just kept a positive attitude throughout, and just loved to hear his comments on the bench when things were going well, and really appreciate everything he brought for us.
Kyler Valley, of course, he started the year in the starting lineup, then came off the bench, had an ankle injury they dealt with from time to time, gave you some minutes off the bench, usually could help you out rebounding and defense, not really known as offensive player, but he knew his role on the team. Kyler Valley, one of your eight seniors.
Yeah, he was one that got moved around quite a bit, just where we needed him, and that's, you know, you appreciate kids that can play multiple spots, and he was one that could do it, able to guard a perimeter and at the same time go into the post, and just felt like, you know, he was one of those guys that the role player that you needed, and one of the reasons, you know, that we had the success we did.
I think one of the unsung heroes on your team is Grant Arrowsmith. He kind of took over the role of Hudson Smith, who graduated last year. And Grant, I don't think you would be where you are today in regards to have made the state semifinals without Grant being on the team this year.
Yeah, he was hurt before Christmas, and really didn't get comfortable, I felt like, till maybe Colby. And that's what I felt when we turned the corner. And, you know, his hard-nosed mentality defensively, he was normally guarding their best perimeter player each night and holding them under their average. And, you know, just like Hudson, you know, how many times did somebody get a rebound and he'd just rip it out of their hands and get us extra possessions. And that first round of state, he played his best game. You know, he was able to get a couple buckets, which really helped. But at the same time, defensively, held their leading score. I think it was probably eight points under his average. And then I think got four or five offensive rebounds at key times that just kept our momentum on our side.
Hudson Gray, I mean, every time we did a game, I said on the broadcast, I think, just put him down for eight rebounds or more. He at 6'1", played a lot bigger than that and certainly had some huge plays for you throughout the year.
Yeah, he just a tremendous player and worker. And, you know, his ability to go get the ball and get rebounds, you know, I think he averaged maybe close to nine, and Bryce was right at nine on rebounds as well. And he was one that when he saw it, he just went and got it. And that's something not everybody has. And then he was always guarding their best post player, sometimes perimeter player, and always loved the challenge. And You know, we were going to have a tough task of guarding Grady Dick today, and I told Hudson last night at practice that he was his, and it wasn't a you know, I have my hands full. It was, yes, you know, I'm going to accept the challenge, and I look forward to it. And that's what I loved about Hudson, is he wanted that challenge. He wanted to shut somebody down. And, you know, he's one that was honorable mention all league, basically because they didn't want to give us four.
Yep.
And I would have taken Hudson, and I told the coaches that over all the guys that they're putting up. And it's just a matter of numbers game that he wasn't first team, but he's one that you love going into battle with because you knew he was going to compete.
I agree with you. He's a first teamer in my book, no question. All right, and then the three first team all league selections officially from that was released: Bryce Mason, Carson Cox, and Vinny Pollan. Let's start with Bryce Mason. I mean, I'll never forget how dominant he was the last couple games at Substate and elevating his game and taking it to another level. I know you guys were kind of waiting on that at times earlier in the year, and he struggled at times, and but when he played well, you played well, and, man, he played well late.
100%. You know, and we talked before the year as coaches that our season's going to be, you know, based on how well Bryce can play, and you don't want to put it all on one kid's shoulders, especially with a team that has – you know, the weapons that we had, but we did. When he played well, we were a dominant team, and when he struggled a little bit, we struggled as a team. But his performance, the sub-state and then the first round of state, has just been tremendous, just dominant, blocking shots, hustles, rebounds, scoring the ball, and just played tremendous as of late, as he did through the year as well. But you know, having that inside presence, not only offensively but defensively, when you have a kid that blocks as many shots as he does, and he really cleans up bad defense on the perimeter when kids are able to drive in, you know, and beat our initial defender off the dribble, and he's able to block shots or alter them, and he just had a tremendous year for us.
Yeah, Bryce, over 80 blocks on the season, averaged 12 points, 9 rebounds, 9 double-doubles this year, and double figures scoring 18 out of your 24 games. And then Carson Cox, Carson, I call him the gunslinger. That's kind of what I've called him for a while now. He hit 70 threes this year. He shot 45% from three. Who's going to ever forget 9 threes in the first half against Russell at a career high 39 in that one? Ended his career with 179 career three-pointers, which is the most anybody's had since 2006, since I've been here. And this is a kid that he improved his game. He's able to learn how to drive the ball a little bit more, the mid-range, some of the floaters, the teardrops, and became a guy. And he also turned into a pretty solid defender for you. Talk about Carson Cox and what he meant to the program.
Well, obviously, when you talk about Carson, you're going to think about his shooting and the different halves or just series of makes that he had. And like you said, Russell, the first half of the state championship game last year, when he had 6 threes in the first half there, and when he made it, it rarely hit rim, and that's the thing. He just had such a soft release, and when he got going, you knew that it one could turn into 5 threes, but the thing about Carson that I've loved over the years is how he's matured since his sophomore year when he played. At that point, you know, he was threes, and the defense was a little bit limited, but he understood, you know, and evolved into what it takes to win. And a couple different times, you know, when we're dealing with our sophomores this year, this or that, I'd make a comment that, you know, when Carson was a sophomore, he didn't understand that you've really got to work that backside rebound. And as he's grown older, he learned that and just been a tremendous leader for us. And, you know, loved watching him shoot the ball and really going to miss that ability.
And finally, Vincent Pollan. He's the engine that makes you go, no question. Point guard. He's been your starter for the last 3 years. He played some as a freshman, over 1,000 career points, double figures 21 times this year. Didn't attempt as many threes this year because he was just that dominant, able to drive the ball and score, but he also got his teammates involved, finished a team-high 16 points per game, 158 career threes, double figures 58 times in his career, 20 point or better performances, and of course, who's going to forget some of his big shots to win games, like the 3-point play against Norton in the Substate semis and the shot on the baseline against St. Mary's in the Substate semis last year in double overtime to put you in the Substate finals. He made your life a little bit easier as a head coach, didn't he?
Oh, 100%. We you know, after that Norton He made that shot that we got in the locker room, and I really didn't have much to say to the kids other than I looked at Vinny and said, I'm sure glad you're on our team. And we felt that way for 4 years now. He played as a freshman and was thrown into, you know, starting point guard as a sophomore, and basically leader and almost captain at that as a sophomore. And watching him grow up and take control of games, you know, there's a reason the last 2 years, I think we're 45-5, and it's because of him. And it's throughout games, and when he didn't need to take over, he enjoyed getting other people, you know, opportunities. But when it was go time, he stepped up and made multiple game-winning shots. You know, Goodland this year, the St. Mary's a year ago, Norton this year, just big shots down the stretch. And he's one of the characters, you know, in practice that brought the energy every day. That's one thing that, you know, fans don't really see is who are the guys every day in practice that bring that intensity, that bring that energy. You know, the season goes along. I think we ended up with 58 practices this year, and that's a lot of time to be together, and it's a lot of the same things over and over again. But I always loved the energy that he brought every day to practice, and just been a great leader for us.
All-state last year, and I would think All-state again this year as well. All right, last one I always ask you about when we do a post-game interview when the season is over. We're talking to Ryan Iyer, the head coach of the Blake Trojan boys basketball team. We appreciate his time today on the Sports Ticket. And that is, what do you want to say to the fans, the community, and everybody that supported you throughout the year? And I know, you know, we talk about how the players are disappointed and sad about what happened. I know the coaches are, broadcasters are, the fans, certainly, alums, everybody else that's tied to the basketball program are bummed out this morning, I know. But what do you have to say to all of them that have supported you throughout the year?
Well, just love the support. I mean, this year especially, where you're able to host a sub-state, and have a packed house like we did, and the student section and the cheerleaders and the band and just everything that comes together. I think we're extremely fortunate to live in this community, to where we support our schools and support our kids, and it takes a lot of people to do it. And I felt like, you know, the last 2 years making it to state, the send-offs by going back through the elementary school, you know, you build a tradition, you build a community by including everyone. And, you know, I saw on Facebook where Hilltop was making signs, and your young kids are making signs, and just love that support from everybody. And our kids are, you know, are fortunate to have all that. And you know, another thing that I don't mention my assistant coaches a lot on air. You know, I think as coaches, we just kind of we go through and do what we do. But Kyle Beisner and Eric Lampert and Eric Eilert, you know, we've been together a long time and experienced the highs and lows of what the sport provides. But you got a group of guys that are coaching these kids that just do a tremendous job of teaching them not only basketball but about life. And our administration, you know, when you host Substate, you know, you don't have to put in for it. And some of the ridiculous things that happened over the week and the stress it puts on people, but our administration for being willing to host it, and then all the teachers and support staff that it takes to work it and put it on. You know, we've got a great facility, but it takes a lot of great people to make an event like that happen, and appreciate that as well. And then it comes, you know, you guys, our kids, to be able to have the play-by-play, the coverage that you guys give them, you know, what you're doing with Twitter and being able to do highlights. Not many kids are able to get done with a game and immediately on social media see the highlights of the game with a play-by-play call. And so, you know, what you and Dusty do, it is just wonderful. And, you know, we're sad today because it's something that we'd looked forward to. But at the end of the day, it's still just a game. And these kids have so much more in life to prove and to accomplish. And there's going to be highs and there's going to be lows for them. But, you know, through sports and everything that our community has done, hopefully it's prepared them for that.
Ryan, a pleasure working with you again this year during the hoop season. And as you said, disappointed that it ends prematurely, but you've done a wonderful job there at Beloit. And for people out there that don't know, I'll brag upon Ryan for a moment. 12 years a head coach, never had a losing season, 214 wins, just 67 losses. 12 years a head coach, 8 sub-state championship games, 5 state tournament appearances out of 12 years. That's a pretty good ratio. And, of course, I know what you'll say. I couldn't do it without talent and kids and good people around me, and that's all very, very true. But it does start at the top. And I just want to say, my friend, you've done a wonderful job with the program, and I know there's good things to come in the future.
No, I appreciate that, and you know, we're always working to you know, make kids better basketball players. But like I just said, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's neat as these kids have gotten older and seeing, you know, the guys that were in our program to start, what they've accomplished, and as they get families, you know, how great they've become, and it's just a whole process that makes all that happen.
Ryan Eilert, head coach of the boys basketball team, our guest today on Sports Ticket. Ryan, we appreciate the time, and we will look forward to next season, and we really, really appreciate your thoughts on what transpired yesterday as the state basketball tournament's canceled due to the coronavirus.
Well, I appreciate it, and I really wonder what you're going to talk about on Sports Ticket for the next month.
We're going to talk about TV programming and what people should put on TV so we have something to watch. That's what we're going to talk about.
Well, I mean, you're going to have every Chiefs contract affected, and the Royal. I mean, it's going to be nothing but contract talk for a long time here.
I think what we'll do is just replay the shows when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. You want to do that, Dusty?
That
we'll just play that whole week of the Chiefs, and we'll relive the Chiefs winning a Super Bowl, which doesn't work for everyone. That's the problem. They're Cowboy fans, like I know you are, and we had BJ was our contestant, stumped the wake-up guys at Dallas Cowboy Trivia. There's Bronco fans around. That might not work, but you know me, you know Dusty. Somehow, some way, we'll find something to talk about, although the shows might be a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna have a lot of guests on there talking about a lot of random things.
Yes, like last night on SportsCenter, where they were breaking down the would-be bracket of Joe Lunardi. That's what they were doing. My wife walked through the living room and said, seriously, that's what they're talking about? I go, honey, what are they supposed to talk about? Everything's canceled.
Yeah,
good point. Yeah. Good point. Ryan, thanks as always. Appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
Ryan, head coach of the boys basketball team.